When you can't stand it anymore, kneel. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright. That's a heck of a way to begin Advent, isn't it? But we shouldn't be discouraged by the fact that Jesus is talking to us in this way. This sounds very discouraging. Why shouldn't we be frightened? Because this apocalyptic language is meant to uncover, or disclose some meaning to us. The point here is to give the listener hope. It is meant to say, no matter how bad things may seem, we can still have hope. It promises our redemption is at hand. When you can't stand it anymore, kneel. Jesus tells us in the gospel we should not run away and become drowsy, go out carousing and getting drunk. We should wait on the Lord, wait for his blessing. In the gospel of Luke that we heard today, the author was trying to comfort a persecuted people. He is trying to tell them that all is well, that the persecutions they are experiencing are for a worthy cause. Christ is real, and they do not suffer in vain. In our world today, Christians are really being persecuted for their beliefs, and there is real suffering. Just ask the Christians that are dying for their faith and the people struggling to recover from Sandy. We know their worlds have been crashing down upon them. How can the words in these readings help them today? I believe God is saying to them, saying to all of us, come close to him, listen to him, and remember his promise, spoken of in the first reading where it says, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot, and he shall do what is right and just in the land. Perhaps these words can give the sufferers from Sandy some hope, as Jeremiah is talking about the arrival of Christ. This is what we wait for today. As we remember the first coming of our Savior, we wait for the second coming. But what do we do while we wait? Paul tells us how we should behave while we wait. You should conduct yourself to please God, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't easy to follow Christ. We may feel persecuted when we try to do things that please God and follow his instructions. But keep in mind, in our lives here in Charlottesville, Virginia, it's not likely we will be suffering real persecution. The persecutions most of us feel are not the kind that bring us an earthly death or suffering from a storm, nor are they really persecutions in the precise sense of the word. But our stresses, our pains, our disconnectedness from real meaning are real, and they do bring a kind of death and suffering. The rush, the focus on external things, especially in these times of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the expectations of providing that perfect Christmas can overwhelm us and sap us of our strength, wearing us down so we don't have real love to give to those around us. Advent should be a time when we remember the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. This period is to be regarded as a season of joyful and spiritual expectation. But our culture focuses on the frenzied activity of the shopping season, not the reason for the season. Advent used to be a time of preparation and penance, not the penance in the same way as Lent, though. Advent purple reminds us we are people who wait, seriously expecting the Lord's return any time, and sad to be apart from him. For most of us, the notion of spiritual preparation has disappeared with the loss of this aspect of penance. Instead, it seems to have degenerated into a kind of material struggle to make ends meet for bigger and bigger presents, rather than simple tokens which, when genuinely given, are equally acceptable. The number of parties increase during this time of year. The anxieties of Advent living can almost overwhelm us. Too many demands may be placed upon us. We may crowd our lives with activity and ignore our God. When you can't stand it anymore, kneel. St. Bernard of Clairvaux speaks about three comings of Christ. In the first coming, which we celebrate at Christmas, he says, "The Lord was seen on earth and lived among men. In his last coming, all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The third coming is hidden. In it, only the chosen ones see him within themselves, and they receive fulfillment. Bishop William Callahan, in the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin, goes on to expand on St. Bernard's words. The first coming, of course, involves the Blessed Mother intimately. She bears in her body the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Mother Mary provides his human body through the great mystery of the Incarnation. That first coming is the essence of our Christmas celebration. The Word made flesh is visible for all the world, all the ages, and all human history to see, study, evaluate, and emulate. The third coming will likewise be a visible encounter. Jesus will come at the end of time as the judge of all creation. He has redeemed it, and he will separate the good from the evil, presenting the good and all redeemed creation to his Father, and pronouncing in turn the sentence of damnation for those who have chosen it. These two comings of Christ are clear and visible. There will be no mistaking his presence. The second coming of the three is a bit more mystical and faith-filled. The second coming is the presence of Christ, the one who is with us until the end of time. Blessed John Paul II, in an Advent homily in 1974, reminds us we are Advent people. For us here in this space, we can take a fresh perspective on the name of our church. We are the church of the Incarnation. Let's focus on the meaning of God coming to dwell in our midst. Think of that, God dwelling among us in 2012. Think about God as Trinity dwelling among us. Remember, the breath of the Holy Spirit can be present to us at any time. Let's have our own incarnational moment as we ask Jesus to be here today with us in our hearts. When you can't stand it anymore, kneel. Let us kneel as we wait for the coming of Christ our King and receive his providence. Amen.